Good morning, everyone. It's been a blessing to... Can everybody hear me okay? My mic on? It's been a blessing to be here this morning already. I was encouraged and challenged in a couple of different ways. The verse, I didn't even realize exactly, I didn't memorize the verse, and I was focusing on trying to prepare a first message for today, but anyways, the verse that was shared today is kind of along the lines of what I want to talk about a little bit. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. As I was preparing for this, I have a tendency of kind of, I get nervous and I get uptight, and I sometimes kind of get hard on myself because I'm not as fluid as some people when it comes to preaching and sharing. But I believe that this morning that God will use anyone that's willing, and so this morning I told the Lord that I'm willing, so I trust that it'll all come out the way that He wants it to come out. So anyway, as I was laying in bed last night, I kind of fell asleep off into a slumber thinking about this message. And as I fell asleep, I forgot about it. And all of a sudden this morning, about 4 o'clock, I come to consciousness and And all of a sudden, you know, the devil has a way of just attacking you. Like, is that really what you want to share this morning? And so, anyway, and after that, I kind of fell off into a slumber again. And while I was sleeping, I came to church, and I got here, and I sat down, and all of a sudden realized that I forgot my notes. I forgot everything. And so in my dream, I ran out, I got in the van, and I headed home. I'm gonna go get my notes and my message that I prepared. And for some reason it was dark. Dreams are dreams. So anyways, it's dark, and I'm going down this road, and I'm just had one thing in mind. I need to get home, I need to get this message. And as I'm driving, for some reason I kept coming to these dead end roads, and I couldn't get home. I couldn't get there. And so then I'm like, well, I gotta call Matt. I gotta call somebody because I'm not gonna be back in time. And so I don't know why, but I could get the first 5 digits, and then the last 2 would always change. For some reason, I couldn't. So I found myself going down this road blindly. I had a destination in mind. I thought I was going to get there, but I couldn't get there. And the end of that road was dark. It was a dead end. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And so as I woke up this morning and realized that it was just a dream, I suddenly started to recognize the parallels. And maybe there was things in that dream that the Lord wanted to show me. Because the title of my message, for the sake of a title, I guess, I titled it, Where Will You End Up? So I want to talk about some things this morning that's been on my heart. The text for this morning is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. I got a lot of verses, so you don't need to follow me if you don't want to. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. So this morning, I just want to share an observation with you And I know these things are simple, but I believe they're profound. This morning, the road, where we end up this morning, depends on the road that we take. We take the wrong road, we'll end up at the wrong place. We take the right road, we're going to end up at the right place. Sometimes we go down this road like I did in my dream, and I thought I was headed for the right place, but I wasn't. And I realized it was just a dream, but in simple words, I can't go north. If I tell somebody I'm headed to Florida this morning, and I'm headed north, I'm driving north, I'm going to Florida, not possible. And I can't go south and end up in Michigan. It just won't happen. If I told you that this morning, you'd say that I'm crazy. Sometimes I feel like, speaking to myself, it's really easy for us to say that we claim the name of Christianity, but all the while, we look like the world, we act like the world, we're indulging in everything the world has to offer, we talk like the world. And the list could go on and on this morning. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world." If we say this morning that we're a part of God's kingdom, like that verse in John did, we lie. We are only fooling ourselves by saying that I'm part of the kingdom of God. I go to church. My mom and dad, you know, they're Christians, and we lie and do not the truth. I trust this morning, as brothers and sisters, that most of us are walking true to that proclamation. I feel in my heart that we are. On the other hand, inevitably, there are probably those among us that either A, have never been born again, B, maybe they were born again but have backslidden. I have a personal testimony of that. A number of years ago, you know, I got to a place, and many of you know this story, but I got to a place in my life where I became very complacent and angry and bitter at those around me that tried to speak life into my life. They tried to speak into my life and tried to show me the error of my ways, but I chose to walk a different direction. I became very angry and very bitter. That's a dark road. That's a very dark road. And this morning, speaking to the young people, you have parents that care for you. You have parents that love you. You have no idea the advantages you have. Listen to your parents. Where you wind up in eternity will be determined by the road that we take on this earth. We're going to be without excuse. It's impossible to take the road to hell and get to heaven. It's impossible. If we're on the road to hell, we're going to end up in hell. And it's impossible, likewise, on the flip side, to take the road to heaven and get to hell. What we do while we're in this world will determine forever where we spend our forever. Speaking of forever, the Bible does talk about the fact that we won't live forever. It's a common theme throughout the whole Bible. In James chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Psalm 78, 39, "For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again." Psalms 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength and labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. In Isaiah 40, verses 7 and 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. So we see there that we're not going to live forever. The fact is that someday we will pass from this earth into eternity. So the question is this morning, where will we end up? That's a question that I'd like to ask this morning. There's two possible directions in life. There's only two possible roads that we can walk in this life. Although society will tell us today that there's many roads that can lead to the same place. It's false. Jesus limits these two choices to just, he limits these choices to two. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So I want to talk a little bit about those two choices. The first one is called the broad way. The word broad means spacious. Jesus talks about this road. He says it's a broad road where that anybody can walk on. Many people can walk on it. This road is wide open. In other words, on this road, you can do anything you like. You can carry all the baggage of your sins. You can live the way you want. You can call the shots. You can make all the rules. You can be king of the road on the broad way. When you walk on the broad way, you can be your own person and not have to answer to anyone. You can live life to the fullest. You can go where you will. You can do what you will and be what you will. It's your life. You can call the shots. It's an easy way to live. Because there's no one to please but yourself. That's what the broad way is all about. But there's a sinister side to the dark road that the open-minded pleasure seekers don't talk about. One of those things is you really aren't in control. You're not in control of your own life. As much as we like to think sometimes that we are, we're not. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of this disobedience, among whom we also had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We are nothing more than a pawn of the devil. When we're walking on the broad way, we are just a pawn on his chessboard. Simply put, John chapter 8, verse 44 says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The second thing is that sin, walking on that broad road, will bring us, not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, but it will bring us pain and sorrow. Guaranteed. Every single time. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, we can say this morning that we're saved and we go to church, but when that field starts to bear fruit, the truth comes out. We can say that we planted oats, but if we get barley, we can see at that point that obviously that wasn't the fact, that wasn't the case. I come across a story here. There was a family named the Jukes family. Maybe some of you have heard this. It was a criminal family known as the Jukes. They were known for a long line of pauperism. Pauperism is a state or condition of utter poverty, insanity and prostitution and drunkenness. A total of 1,200 descendants have been traced from this prolific prolific family tree. Some 400 were physically self-wrecked. 310 were perpetual professional paupers. 130 were convicted criminals. 60 were perpetual thieves, pickpockets, and 7 were murderers. Out of 1,200, only 20 ever learned to trade, and 10 of these learned while they was in prison. You see, sin carries an extremely high price tag. And it's one that many times we don't account for that. And we start off down this broad road and things seem to be all hunky-dory for a time and fun and games. But then all of a sudden, there's payday. And then we reap what we sow. But this morning, I don't want to talk about all the dark things, because God offers a better alternative. This morning, God has a plan that if we follow Him, we can enjoy all the benefits that God has to offer. They're there for us. Things like peace. In John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God." Things like joy. 1 Peter 1, verse 8, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom now ye see him not, now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with unspeakable joy, with joy unspeakable and full of glory." He offers the assurance of salvation. 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." There's multitudes of things when we do things God's way that we're not going to find on the broad way. The narrow way, on the other hand, while the broad way is a wide open road and it's easy, and the narrow way, sometimes it can be referred to as a grape press. It has the idea of being constricted, or distressed, or maybe even difficult. The narrow way is the opposite of the broad way. On the narrow way, we can't take our sins with us. If we try, we will find that there's not enough room on there for us and our sins, both. When we walk on the narrow way, we have to choose to give up our rights. You know, the world is all about our rights. The Second Amendment right. We have the right. We really don't have any rights. We can no longer do as we please. We must do the things that please the Lord at that point. Or we will want to. I shouldn't say we must. We will spontaneously. In truth, when we walk on the narrow way, we should expect some difficulty. It's not going to be easy. It's not promised. Our fleshly bodies tend to resist the confines of the narrow way. Our sinful nature will find it tight and constrictive to walk on the narrow way. But yet today, there's many that proclaim the name of Jesus and say that they're saved, but yet they're clearly walking on the broad way. On the narrow way, some of the benefits of the narrow way, it honors God. In 1 Peter 1, verse chapter 16, it says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." It will bring a blessing and power in our life. If we're willing to walk on the narrow way, we're going to have blessings and power to overcome sin. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." It'll offer a far better life from every angle, from every perspective. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, it says, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." In Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Luke chapter 14, 26 and 27, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." It's a life of surrender, devotion, and dedication in obedience to God. It's a life that will bless. But it's worth it. It's worth it. So this morning I asked the question, which road are you walking on? There's two possible directions in life. And there's two possible destinations in eternity. There was a saying that said, about 2,000 years ago, it said, "All roads lead to Rome." Well, all roads lead somewhere, and the same is true with the roads we are considering this morning. They lead somewhere, and since everyone here is on for one or the other, we need to find out where we are going. There's a place called hell this morning. And I know some of these things are elementary. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, but anyway, the end of the broad road is hell. Every person that chooses to walk on the broad way will eventually find themselves in the fires of hell. A little bit of insight on this place. Unquenchable fire and unsatisfied thirst. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into the fire that shall never be quenched." Luke chapter 16, verse 24. "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." There's memory and remorse. One of the things that will never go away in hell is our memory. We will remember and remember and remember. I remember, speaking of memory, Jerry Mahore preached a message called Salvation Crystal Clear. Now, I don't know where Jerry's at today with everything, but I know in the day that message was very instrumental to me. And one thing that he shared in that message was he went into detail about hell. And that's one thing that he shared, is that we will remember the thing that we sought after most on earth in regards to sin. Luke chapter 16, verse 25. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." There'll be frustration and anger. Luke chapter 13, verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Matthew 24, 51. And he shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's unspeakable pain and misery in hell. In Revelation chapter 14, 10 and 11, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Point number six, there's eternal separation. Revelations 21, chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. We talked about liars this morning. Those who lie and do not the truth shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I apologize if I'm going a little fast here. I'm trying not to go over my time. Point number 7, there's undiluted wrath. In Revelations chapter 20:15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's not going to be any mercy from the Lord at that point. The time of grace will be past. One writer writes that regardless of what men think, hell is real. And every second lost, souls drop off into the searing heat of that horrible place. No matter how I tried, I could never adequately describe hell. But if I were to be able to exhaust all the vocabulary of English and paint word pictures that conveyed the truth of that place, the half would be told as to the horror that awaits everyone headed to the land of the damned, a place from which there will be no deliverance, a place to which you will surely go if you choose to follow the broad and easy road through life. So this morning I ask the question again, where will you end up? The writer continues. He says, there is a place called heaven. Just as the broad road has its destruction, the narrow way, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Just as the broad road has its destination, the narrow way does too. This road doesn't end in hell, but it ends in heaven above. Jesus promised those who would follow this way of life, not just life down here, but everlasting and glorious life in the realms of light above this wicked and perishing world. If hell is a place of horror and pain, separation and suffering, then heaven is a place of joy, rest, and peace, and unspeakable beauty and glory. Everything that hell isn't, heaven is. Just a brief glimpse into the glories of that city tell me that that's where I want to end up. Just a couple of points on heaven here, and then I'll take my seat. Point number one, no tears, pain, sorrow, or death. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, it says, and God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Point number two, there's not going to be any sin there. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I read that verse earlier, I believe. There's not going to be any night there. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 25, all the gates of it shall not be shut all the day, for there shall be no night there. There's no curse. No curse of sin. Chapter 22, verse 3, it says, And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. We're going to be with God and Jesus. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I don't know about you, but the thought of that this morning is just inexpressible. To be with God forever. Point number six. Glory is beyond description and beyond the ability of man to comprehend and understand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, the narrow road may be costly down here. It may not feel good. It may be, you know, a bit uncomfortable at times, but it's worth the price that we pay as a child of God. I can relate to that. So this morning, a couple things to remember, that there's two possible destinations in life. There's two possible destinations in eternity, and there's two decisions that we can make. Only two. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So today, if you hear the Spirit of God talking to you, if you know that you're not living right, just come to the Lord. Come to God. There's nothing like it, I can assure you. So this morning, I want to ask one more time, where will you end up? That's all that I have. God bless you, and thanks for listening.